Liz. Thank you.
I'm divorced, have been for a long time, 16 years, and just want to say first of all that I really value Rupert's approach so much. I think it's been very mature and complex and treated the whole subject with real dignity. So I just really want to honour you for the way you've handled it, because I think it's an enormously difficult thing. And I just want to say, if anybody has, if this has touched anyone's life and they would like to talk to me, I'd be very happy to open up about my journey with you, but I'd really prefer that to be a personal thing. But I would also like to say that it's been a very long, very hard journey, but that I think it's a couple of things. First is that, you know, I wasn't in this church when that happened, and I was in a much larger church in the middle of Edinburgh, and I found people's reactions to what happened at the time, it was a complete, for me, catastrophe, was almost made it doubly hard, because people really stood back because they didn't know how to react. And I really think that one of the fruits from this is that, you know, heaven forbid that happened here again, but in some ways it's partly inevitable, but I really hope that people can step forwards to people who are suffering in this way and know that it's a balanced thing, know that everybody has grief in their life through different things, everyone has brokenness in their life through different things, so it's in that context, but equally to step forwards to people who are in pain, not to step back from them, because you can feel like you're somehow a leper, because you're symbolic of some kind of failure in a way. And also that for me, it has become a place of, a very precious place in my walk with God. And one of the things that is really, you know, so much has happened. God has done so much in me and has transformed me so much through it. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says that wounds that scour, wounds that stripe scour away evil, and the stripes reach the innermost part, or something like that. And I think it's just the amazing paradox of God that things that are really awful and not what God wants, he's still able to use for good. And I would say two things about that. One is that it can take a very long time for that to happen. And there can be a lot of despair on that journey. And also, but that it's an incredibly solid thing when it does come. And as a real testament to the very real transformative power of God to bring good out of things. But that also it doesn't change the moral order of what happens. No matter how much good comes from anything awful, the thing that was awful still remains awful. And that loss can be multidimensional and can go on for many years. And one final thing is, for me, a big part of my journey is to learn not to be defined by someone else's broken choices and broken behaviour. And, so I think that's probably it.
Liz, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Liz. It's just fantastic hearing somebody's experience. Just want to pick up on one thing that you said, which I really agree with, just about moving towards people. And in the approach that I'm offering around these scriptures, if you read many commentaries, they will focus around the guilty party in a divorce, based around the phrase, except for marital unfaithfulness. And so the key issue for some commentators will be who was the one who committed adultery, and they're the guilty one, and then the other party is the innocent one. And the way that I've offered this as an interpretation, I don't think that's what Jesus is about at all. Because I think any divorce is a tragic, a tragedy that while there may be different levels of responsibility, actually, I don't want to be the person that tries to discern and decide who is the guilty one and who's the innocent one. I don't think there's such a thing as an innocent person. We all contribute to it. But therefore, Grace flows to both. Grace flows to everyone in the midst of this. And I really just want to thank you for your contribution, Liz, but also just acknowledge that actually it doesn't matter the reasons why we move towards people in the midst of it, because that's what grace does. So, anyone else who wants to add something?
I was just thinking, I used to work in a homeless hostel and had a lot of people there that had been divorced and that I was a part of, how they'd come to be homeless. But one really memorable chap that we worked with was reconciled with his family while he was living in the hostel. And the way that that rippled out through his family, through society as well, in a similar manner to the way that the negative stuff had kind of rippled out, was really powerful. And I just want to kind of encourage people about that power of reconciliation and how it changes more than just that one relationship as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent, thank you. Great story. Anyone else? Thanks. Yeah, just as Rupert was speaking last week, actually, I was really struck by there was something just so weighty that I felt it was just the Holy Spirit actually reminding me about the significance and the solemnness of the marriage vow. And I think the thing that struck me was the culture that we live in, like you were saying, is so just erodes that all the time. And you know, it's constantly saying, you know, you just constantly seeing people getting out of marriage. And when it does get hard, and a couple of my friends now are in positions where their marriages are hard, and they're just like, you know, considering their options. And I think what struck me was thinking, wow, how am I gonna get into that place where the solemnness of and the significance of what Kath and I have done in getting together is going to flow out for the next 50 years. And I think that culturally, we're not hearing that message at all. It's constantly being eroded. And so I think it's just a case of this is the place to really start to say, no, this is what we're in for, that we're in for the long haul. And it is significant and solemn. And I think that it all sort of kicked off on the radio with that comment, but that guy had thought for the day and said, you know, marriage should be a solemn vow, not a big party. And all the marriage magazines were all up in arms, saying, no, it should be a party and not so old fashioned. But actually, we're bringing something so different into this, and it just really struck me. Thank you, Colin. Excellent. Stefan.
I had a picture this morning, and it was God, and He is so incredibly wonderful and attractive, and the way I saw Him was He was love, solid, untarnished, pure, but He was solid, and in a way I felt that He was so solid that we couldn't, and He was so untarnished that we couldn't get from Him. We couldn't get at Him, or we couldn't get anything from Him. It was like a solid block. And then God said, come and eat. And I felt it's not He is a block and He is solid. Yes, He is solid, but He's not a block. He invites us to in the grace, and I think this is where grace is so important. He invites us to partake of His goodness, of His love, of His hope, of His pure, solid life. And He invites us to partake of this and to take it in, to be it ourselves as well, to an extent, in that we actually consume consume it, and that when he says, come and eat, that we partake of him. And when Rupert spoke about grace being so important, I felt this is exactly what it's like. This is exactly it. He is solid. He is pure. He is untarnished. And he invites us to partake of all that.
Brilliant. I think that's a good point to just gather around this place. And in a minute we'll use some liturgy. I think Liz will just lead us through some liturgy. And then just to come up here and to take bread and wine. And did you have something you wanted to share? Please. That would be absolutely lovely.
I think it's coming on the back of what Stefan was saying about come and eat. And we were singing this morning, one of the songs Shirley chose was, he brought me into his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. And when we were singing that, I was just thinking of my garden. It's probably like your gardens or outside your flat just now. It's just covered with snow. But yet the birds are coming to the little bird table that we have. And there's food there and they're coming and eating. And Colin and I do our best to keep that topped up all year round. Sometimes we forget and it runs low. But just that feeling of, as Stefan said, come and eat. That banqueting table is always full. There's always food there that we can eat. And he's so faithful and so true. He's so solid that actually we'll never come and find that place empty. And it doesn't matter what the weather's like outside. It doesn't matter whether it's raining in our lives, whether it's sunny in our lives, whether the snow is falling and it's heavy on our lives. That's always there. And there's an invitation. You know, when Rupert was talking this morning, he was actually walking round and round this cross. I don't know if you noticed, he was just going round and round. And I just, especially when he was talking about the kingdom of God coming and that vision that actually we can all get drawn into, there was something around the Holy Spirit being round this cross this morning. And actually, it's a force. It's a power. This is a solid place that we can come and be drawn into. This life isn't for the hereafter, for the eternal. It's for now. It's his kingdom coming into our lives now. His food being enough for us now. And so as we come, I just encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to draw you in to this, to come with your hunger, with your thirst, and to come to this point.
Can you just write and just go straight? I don't need to add anything else to that. Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. I want to thank you that you are a solid God. That we can come to you knowing that we'll always be received, that there's always food on your table, drink on your table for us. And Lord, you just want us to come. And so Father, this morning I pray that you'd help us each to come to you wherever we're at in our lives, that you would draw us in by your Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would touch us, that you would feed us where we need fed, that you'd give us water where we are just so thirsty. So Lord, help us to come. And Lord, I know that you're going to meet us as we do. Thank you, Father.
I think actually we're just going to leave the liturgy today. And I just want to invite you to come. Just come. There's bread here. We've put bread in and amongst the stones. If you want feeding in the midst of dry, difficult, hard places, come and take bread and wine from those places. Whatever it is you want to come, just come. Just come and eat. Let's just stand. And then just wherever you are, just come. We're not going to sing. If you'd like some prayer, just grab somebody next to you. If you're a couple, come and take it as a couple. If you want to recognize community that you're part of and you're single, come and take it with some of your community. Come take bread and wine. We may need to just take it and then move away so there's enough space. We maybe just move some of these chairs. But just come.